Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message is the epistle reading from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. When we want to soften the impact of bad news or talk about a difficult subject, we use euphemisms. Now, a euphemism is a friendly, polite, or even humorous way of talking about the difficult things in life. If you need to fire someone, well, you just let him go. Like, you know, catch and release. A person isn't unemployed, he's between jobs. And in the old days, you never said that the woman was pregnant. You always said she was in a family way. And of course, as you would expect, we have a lot of euphemisms for death. Perhaps the most difficult thing that we don't like to talk about in this world. So today, more than anything else, when a person dies, we hear that he passed. Or he passed away. Or he departed. But we have lots of other euphemisms for death. For example, he's pushing up daisies. He's 6 feet under. He bit the dust. He bought the farm. He kicked the bucket. He cashed in his chips. He met his maker. He's sleeping the big sleep. He shuffled off his mortal coil. And my favorite, he became a root inspector. Which is another way of saying he's on the wrong side of the grass. These are the ways we talk about death, without ever mentioning the word death. Now, the Bible isn't afraid to talk about death in very direct terms. But God's Word also uses euphemisms for death. In the Old Testament, one of the most frequent euphemisms for death is Sheol. Sheol means to go down to the grave, to die. In the New Testament, when a believer in Jesus dies, that person has fallen asleep. Thus the Apostle Paul writes in today's epistle reading, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep." But you should know, God's Word doesn't mince any words when it comes to Jesus, the incarnate Son of God. Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sins. And He rose again for your justification, to make you right with God. He didn't pass away. He didn't buy the farm. He isn't pushing up daisies. Jesus died for you on the cross so that He could win for you the forgiveness of sins and life and salvation. Yet along with being very forthright about the death of Jesus, this term that the New Testament uses for the death of the believer in Jesus, to fall asleep, is more than a euphemism. It is actually a theological reality. For the person who has been baptized into Christ Jesus, death has lost its power. Death isn't the end of that person. In Christ, the death of the mortal body is merely sleep. And when Jesus returns on Judgment Day, He will simply wake you up, because death has no power when it faces Jesus. In Jesus, death has a new name. It is merely sleep. For in Jesus, death has met its match. It has been conquered. So in a world in which we are surrounded by death, it is everywhere. The resurrection of Jesus is our hope and our resurrection. Now there are two words in the New Testament for resurrection. One is anastasis, which means to stand up again. If you know an Anastasia, and we all do know an Anastasia, her name means resurrection. The other word for resurrection in the New Testament is to wake up. In Matthew's Gospel, when Jesus came to the house of Jairus, where the people were gathered to mourn the death of Jairus' daughter, Jesus told them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." Of course, the mourners go instantly from crying to laughing at Jesus, because they know the child isn't sleeping. She's dead. They know the difference between sleeping and death. You wake up from a nap, but you don't wake up from death. But then Jesus went to the girl and taking her hand, he said to her, Talitha kumi, which is Aramaic for a little girl, I say to you, arise. In our English vernacular, Jesus simply said, little girl, I say to you, wake up. As God, Jesus has the power over all things, which means he has the power over death. So death is no more a challenge to Jesus than it is for mom to wake up her sleeping babies, unless it's for church or school. In the town of Bethany, Jesus had three close friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Lazarus had died and was buried. When Jesus finally arrived to the town of Bethany, Mary's not happy with him. She confronts him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Then Jesus goes to the tomb where the body of Lazarus is already decomposing. In fact, we know something's dead when we can smell it. And Lazarus was stinking. But by the power of his word, Jesus summoned forth Lazarus from the grave. So with this in mind, St. Paul comforts the Christians of Thessalonica with the promise of resurrection from death and the grave. This promise is for those who die in Jesus. You see, the Thessalonian Christians needed Paul's encouragement because they were worried about the fate of those who die before Jesus returns in judgment. They thought wrongly that those who died before Jesus returned were lost. They really didn't believe in the resurrection. But Paul assures them of Jesus' power over death. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So Paul assures not only the Christians of Thessalonica, but all Christians that on the last day, the dead in Christ will rise first. Their souls and their bodies reunited at the command of Jesus in the resurrection. And together with those who are living when Jesus returns, all believers, living and dead, will live with Jesus in eternal life forever and ever, where there will be no more pain, suffering, sin, or death. Paul can give this kind of assurance to the Thessalonian Christians because he has the word and promise of Jesus. And because he knows that all who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have already been raised from the dead. They already know eternal life. That's right. The baptized believer has already been raised from the dead once. Raised from the spiritual deadness of sin. A friend of mine back in Illinois describes baptismal generation of the Christian in this way. He says, unbelievers are born once and die twice. The second death is damnation. But believers are born twice and die once. That's because for the baptized believer who has already been born again, born from above by water and the Spirit, temporal death in the grave are to Jesus merely sleep. Listen to what Paul says about this first resurrection in the book of Romans. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him and by baptism into death. Nor that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would be no longer slaves to sin. For the one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we'll also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Sin is what condemns us. But Jesus has conquered sin. And in his resurrection, he has brought life and immortality to light for all who believe in him. But we know these words. Nothing I said today is new. But in this world of sin, like the Thessalonians, we need to be encouraged. We need to be reminded that Jesus has won for us the victory over death and the grave. Why do we need this reminder? Because we live in a culture of death and in a culture that wants Jesus to be dead. Our sinful nature wants Jesus to be dead. Because if Jesus is dead, then he's not God, and we don't have to listen, believe, or follow him. So our sinful nature wants Jesus dead. And there are even Christian denominations that declare that Jesus did not rise from the dead. He only rose spiritually. In fact, they believe this so firmly that they have rewritten the Apostles' Creed simply to say on the third day he rose. Not a real resurrection from the dead. They believe he's still buried somewhere in Palestine. Because the resurrection, after all, is a scientific impossibility. No one rises from the dead, so Jesus didn't rise from the dead. However, if Jesus is still dead and buried, he's just another man. If he's dead and buried, there's no resurrection. There's no life. There's no hope in the face of death. If Jesus is dead, then death has the final word. Why bother being a Christian at all? Why suffer for Jesus? Why make sacrifices for your church? Why bother being a Christian at all? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. But the tomb is empty. Over 500 souls witnessed the resurrected Jesus. The disciples touched his resurrected body. And because the tomb is empty, your baptism into Christ Jesus is a true and real death and resurrection. A real death to sin and a real resurrection to newness of life in Christ. A life lived now before God in this world, with the hope of living before God in heaven forever and ever. And when you die, this promise of resurrection to eternal life in Christ Jesus on the last day will give your loved ones hope. Hope that they will see you again on the resurrection. And also the hope that those who die in Christ still live with Jesus until the resurrection. What a great comfort it is for me as a pastor to tell people mourning the death of their believing loved ones. Your loved one believed in Jesus, and he is with Jesus now, and he'll be with Jesus in the resurrection. Because in Christ Jesus, death is dead. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please stand?